You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Prayer has freshly stirred my prayer just in these last few days, these last few weeks as I've been reflecting on it. So for all of us, whatever our place on our journey, do you know what? It's important for us to reflect and to come back to God and to be continually learning about prayer. So that's what our goal is. So what is prayer? It's in its most simple definition, it's talking to God. It's the communication of the human soul with the Lord who created that soul. That's what prayer is. It's that primary aspect of our faith. It's the way as believers in Jesus communicate their emotions, their desires with God, how they fellowship with God, how they build their relationship with God is rooted in prayer. So it's important for us to reflect on it. Because our Christian life is a relationship, isn't it? We talk about that. It's a relationship with God. And the most important thing in any relationship is communication, isn't it? Don't we all find that? And communication with God is rooted in prayer. That's why we pray as believers. Communication is so important. And it's so much more than talking, isn't it? My mum has got a superpower. I spent the whole day with her yesterday. And her superpower is that she can talk without breathing. And we run one of five siblings. We are convinced she's got gills. And in some way, she can talk without breathing. And so it is very hard for any of us to like get in a word because she just can talk permanently without breathing. And you know what? Some of us, our prayer lives are a bit like that. We just talk. And we don't do any listening. And therefore, our communication is a little falters at that. See, prayer is not just about talking. It's about listening. It's about engaging. It's about connecting. It's about communing. It's about fellowship with God. Prayer isn't just talking at God. It's communicating with Him. It is about talking, but it's pausing to listen too. It's being open to His voice into our souls. And any relationship it rises and falls on good communication. And we have to continually learn about it, don't we? I'm continually learning how to listen to Hayley and the kids. And any relationship has to have good communication, doesn't it? And the more we recognize that our communication with God through prayer is so important, the more vital and vibrant our faith is. And so it's important for us to look at this area. I was just struck as well when Jesus was baptized he by John the Baptist. The Holy Spirit came down on him, if you remember, in the form of a dove. And then God from heaven spoke in an audible voice, "This is my son whom I've chosen. Listen to him." And it's just had a profound sense for me this week. Listen to him. The Father didn't say chat about him or make notes on a great sermon about him or even just talk to him. It was listen to him. And that is part of our journey of prayer, I think. It's so important that when the Bible repeats it, when the disciples went up the Mount of Transfiguration, it says, "But while he was still speaking these words, the cloud covered them, blotting out the sun, and a voice from the cloud said, 'This is my beloved son. Listen to him.'" So listening is really important part of our prayer. Learning how to listen is really hard. I had a conversation this week. How do we listen to God? You know, does he like speak audibly? Does he write on the wall? How does he speak to us? It's hard, isn't it? Mainly, I think, through the Word. He is the Word, isn't it? Through that wonderful passage of John, the beginning of John. I am the Word. He is the Word of God to us. And as we fill ourselves with the Word of God, we find the Spirit bringing those words alive to us in our hearts. And we hear those scriptures in our souls. And it's part of the way that God speaks to us. Other ways as well, but we need to learn how to talk, how to listen, how to communicate with God. That's deepening our relationship with God. And that's what prayer is about. So prayer can be audible or silent or public or private or formal or informal. It can be at a set time. It can be all the time. Prayer is varied. It's as varied as the people who pray it. But we read in John or in James that it's offered in faith. In John, that it's in the name of the Lord. In Romans, we read about it being done in the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a very Trinitarian thing, prayer. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia says prayer, in its full New Testament meaning, is a prayer addressed to God as Father in the name of Jesus as the mediator and through the enabling grace of the indwelling Spirit. What a definition that is. But prayer is communion with all of the Trinity, our Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Prayer is described in the Bible as seeking God's favor. It's, the Bible talks about pouring out one's soul to the Lord. It's a real thing, prayer. It's not something artificial that you just read at somebody else's prayer. It's a cry of the soul. It's a crying out to heaven. It's a kneeling before the Father. It's all sorts of different descriptions are used in the Bible. And it's so important for us to look at what the Bible says about prayer. God's house is to be a house of prayer, it says. God's people are to be called a people of prayer. It says in Jude, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit and keep yourself in the love of God. See, prayer, God's people are a praying people. We're told in 1 John that we should be confident when we come to God in prayer. We should come confident that he hears us. He answers our prayers when we pray according to his will. Philippians talks about us being in praying without being anxious. Praying about everything. To pray with thankful hearts. It's rich what the Bible says about prayer. I read a quote by Corrie ten Boom, the great missionary, who said, any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is too small to be made into a burden. I love that quote. Any concern too small to be turned into a prayer is too small to be made into a burden. We're encouraged to be praying without ceasing in Thessalonians. What does that mean, praying without ceasing? It means being prayerful in our attitude through the day. We might have special times dedicated to prayer, and that's really important. But you know what? There can be a prayerfulness as we are washing up, as we're changing nappies, as we are trying to get a spreadsheet to add up at work, when we're at college. Prayer can be something that we're doing continually as we learn to be fellowshipping with God. And it's powerful, prayer. Mother Teresa said, God shapes the world by prayer. The more praying there is in the world, the better the world will be. The mightier the forces against evil. In the book of Revelation, it gives a graphic picture of the testimony of God's people and the prayers of God's people drifting up to heaven like incense. And then God sending thunderbolts of answered prayer down into the world. A really graphic image of just how powerful prayer is as we seek God and as we pray. And so it's important for us, isn't it, as a people, to understand how to pray and to grow in this. But the simple truth that I want to bring this morning is that it's about relationship. It's about a positive, loving, deepening relationship with our good Father in heaven. Psalm 10 says the wicked have no desire to seek God in prayer, but God's people, God's children, have a desire to pray and want to learn how to pray. So the disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray so we can learn how to pray. And that's the journey I want us to be on through this year, all of us. That we are learning to pray more and more. Are you up for that? I'm glad some of you are, because it is the thing that will make your spiritual life soar, your family life soar. It will be the thing that enables you to bring God into all that you're doing. And learning to pray is a lifelong process. You never finish learning to pray. Even Juliet is still learning to pray. And Doreen. They've learned a lot, but we are all learning to pray. So how do we pray? Do we pray standing up or sitting down or kneeling or bowing? Should we have hands open, closed, lifted before God? Do our eyes need to be closed? Definitely not when you're driving and praying. Is it better for us to be at church with others to pray or out in the nature on our own? Should we pray in the morning or the evening? Should we pray with certain words in our prayers? Should we begin our prayers in a certain way or end our prayers in a certain way? These are all questions that we can ask. But do you know what? The most important thing is that we are connecting with our Heavenly Father. And too often we're looking for a magic formula. How do we pray for the sick? Or how do we pray for... Some believe that if we don't say the right words or in the right way or in the right position, God won't hear our prayers. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible doesn't God doesn't answer our prayers based on when we pray, where we are, what our position of our body is. It's not about the form or the formula. It's about friendship and fellowship with God, prayer, actually. And as parents, we know it, don't we? Little kids don't give fully grammatically correct sentences, do they? But we love talking to them. In fact, Hay and I loved it when they said words wrong. We just couldn't bear to tell Joe that absolutely, to say absolutely, wasn't how you said it, because we loved him saying it wrong. And God's like that. He doesn't care, in a sense, whether we've got the words right. What he's wanting is our heart to be seeking him. Whether it's in pain or in joy, whether it's in a good mood or a bad mood, whether God feels a million miles away or right within us, God is wanting us to pray because he's wanting to be in relationship with us. He's wanting us to be in relationship with him. Max Licardo says, I think I've got this quote on here, our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. Isn't that cool for all of us who struggle to pray? So part of our adventure in prayer is finding our way. Hayley gets up in the morning and she prays. She's not here, so I'm going to tell me off for embarrassing her. But she gets up and she just immediately is reading the Bible in prayer. We're sort of doing it together, but the reality is she's doing it and I'm listening or snoring or dozing. Because I'm not a morning person. I take a long time to boot up. It just takes a long time. I just can't get going first of all, where she's just straight on it. So my morning, we do pray together for the lads and for the church and stuff in the mornings. But my time for prayer is different. I just find when I'm walking, I can't not pray. There's something about the rhythm of walking for me that makes me pray. I also find that when I'm driving for some bizarre reason, if there's no one else in the car, it just triggers me to pray. At night, I'm much more alive. So part of our journey of prayer is not trying to copy people, but it's trying to find our rhythm of prayer, the reality of prayer. Sometimes our prayers are just groans. Like when we lost Annabelle years and years ago, she said, I just could pray. All I could say was, Father, with this deep groan. But the scriptures talk about us praying in groans. So we can be in pain and difficulty, and there can be this just a groan within us, and that's a prayer in some ways. So it's finding our way in prayer is what's most important, and finding our way to communicate, but recognizing that prayer is not so much about the words, but it's about our connection with God, our desire for Him. So I suppose the Christian idea of prayer is about communicating with God. It's the way we praise God, thank Him, tell Him how much we love Him. It's how we enjoy His presence, tell Him what's going on in our lives. We pray and make requests, seek guidance, ask for wisdom. It's fellowship with our good Heavenly Father. It develops our relationship with God. Corrie ten Boom, the big missionary, little missionary she was, says, "Prayer, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire?" And I just love that quote. Because do you know what? Prayer is powerful. So there's lots of different ways you can pray and different things. People look at different acrostics. I don't know if you've come across some of them. Teaspoon, thank you, sorry, please, or acts. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication, that means asking. Sam's church, my son's church, they're using bread at the moment, which is be still, read the verses, encounter God, ask Him what he's saying through the verses, apply the A, what you've read into your life practically, devote yourself in prayer. There's all sorts of different ways of looking at it. Pray, praise, repent, ask, yield. The one I like most, really, is the Nike one, which is just do it. Because that's what God is saying to us today. Just do it. Just do it. In the morning, over a coffee, when you're driving in Sainsbury's. If you're in Sainsbury's, please don't kneel down and put your arms in the air, because, you know, if you say they come from Jubilee, that's going to really freak some people out. But you've got to just do it. And do you know what? That phrase, for some of you, is God speaking to you today. Just do it. As I was preparing in my bleak time a few weeks ago, one thing I felt God say was, look, just pray anyway. Pray anyway in the sense that of anyhow you pray is good. Any way you do it is good. But even when you can't, pray anyway. Because in that faithful step of obedience, there is a meeting with God in the end. Pray anyway. So I want to just, as to read, the way that Jesus said, pray. The Lord's Prayer isn't just something to memorize and recite to God. I mean, it's good to memorize it. It's more of an example of the things that should go into prayer. Worship, trusting God, requests, confession, submission. We're praying these things as we pray the Lord's Prayer. So the Lord's Prayer is like a structure for us to go beyond, to fill out. It's a way of expressing our hearts to God. So whether we're sitting or standing, yelling or quiet, kneeling, hands open, closed, eyes closed, open at church, home, outside, in the morning, in the night, they're all side issues. Personal preferences in some ways. But God has given us a powerful pattern for our prayers. Our Father. Coming to our Father. It's our Father. It's not every word's important. Our Father. Who's in heaven, that majesty. As we pray, we reflect on His glory, His magnificence. Hallowed be your name. Holy is his name. We pray for his kingdom to come, his will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. It's rich with meaning, isn't it? And we come to him saying, God, give us our daily bread. Not more than we need, not less than we need, our daily bread. Challenges us around forgiveness. Challenges us around temptation, sin. All in the context of saying, our Father who art in heaven. Let me finish with this before we break bread together. There's a scene in the first Lord of the Rings where the Fellowship of Travellers, if you know of it, enter the ancient mines of Moria, and there's a, on their perilous but ultimately redemptive journey, I don't know if you're familiar with it, and it's on their way, they've got to go through these treacherous mountains to a safe haven, and the only way to get through is through these huge stone doors leading into the mines that are sealed shut. And over the arch of the door is written in Elvish the inscription, "The doors of Durin, Lord of Moria. Speak, friend, and enter." And the hobbit asks the de facto leader of the party, the wise and ancient Gandalf, "What does it mean?" "It's quite simple," he says. "If you're a friend, you speak the password and the doors will open." And Gandalf musters his powers and in his deepest and most solemn voice utters some ancient chant. It's a wonderful bit of the film, if you watch the film. And nothing happens. And he speaks with even more commanding authority. And nothing happens. And he pushes against the door and he shouts and he gets angry and nothing happens. And then hours later, they're all sitting there bored, anxious. Gandalf is muttering away and the door hasn't budged. And Gandalf sits down, his back to the door, weary and defeated. And Frodo, the hobbit, looks up and reads the inscription once again. "Speak, friend, and enter." "It's a riddle," he says. "Gandalf, what's the Elvish word for friend?" And Gandalf looks at him, puzzled, annoyed. "Melon," he says. And with the uttering of that one word, the door swings open. You know what? Sometimes we try so hard to pray. We push, we shove, we shout, we declare, we say everything we know, every prayer we know. Sometimes we can wear ourselves out. When all God actually intends us to do is to speak, friend, and enter. And that's what I want us to do now, as we come to break bread.